Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and everyone this morning. It's a right nice day out this morning for a wintry day. We certainly are glad that the weather is good and we can come and go at ease. And so we're so glad that you're here. And we welcome you in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we begin our worship service this morning, I want to recognize those that has read through the Bible last year. And we have 9 people that read through the Bible last year. We have several that almost got through, and so forth, and I really count it a good to have 9 of you folks that have accomplished reading through the Bible last year, and we want to recognize you here. If you'll come, Ada Ruth is one. If you'll come, we want to get a picture for our scrapbook. Homer Lee, Jerry Spradley, Spalding. I always want to call you Spradley. I know some Spradley. Spalding. Judy Carter.
I've been coming here 12 years. You don't even know my name.
That sounds like
Michael and Angela and Robert and Sierra. He will come. Come out forward here so that we can get a good picture of you. Step out here if you will. Judy, where's Judy? Come on. Get over here. Here's Homer. Maxine made it.
Mr. Engel is.
Robert,
who's Robert?
Get up here, Robert.
Come on,
guys, get out here in the aisle. Sierra. Angela. And Michael. Can you get through? We had 8. Okay. So we can all get in the picture there. Let me get out of the picture. I know that practically all of you, if not all of you, are daily Bible readers, and that's good to read God's Word in some fashion or another. I applaud you that had made it through the Bible last year. So once again, welcome to each one. And listen, next week we want to recognize those on our perfect attendance awards down to 3 Sundays. If you haven't missed any more than 3 Sundays, make sure that you tell me. I've checked with everybody that I know, but if you think I don't have you, well, please let me know. But one Sunday, 2 Sundays, or 3 Sundays, and we have several of those, and we're so glad to have that. A lot of you have already started this year, and we got the opportunity to have a good attendance record for yourself this year. So may God bless you for your extra efforts that you put forth there. I want to share with you as we begin our service this morning, Psalms 121. Which is one of my favorites. I will lift up my eyes into the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not slumber. He will not suffer thy feet to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
For him of worship this morning, we're going to use 59, first and last verse. Benny will have the prayer. So.
God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we come with thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, it is so good. We can voice the words of David when he said, I was glad when they said, come, let us go up to the house of the Lord. It is always good times when we come together with the church, the Porter Church family here. From Lord's Day to Lord's Day, Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for each one that is present here, each one that represents, Heavenly Father, a child of God, each one that represents a love for you and a desire to serve Jesus, and Heavenly Father, to follow him and to be witnesses to others for your goodness. And so we ask, Heavenly Father, you look upon this congregation, that, Heavenly Father, you would bless them in a wonderful way, that you would bless them indeed, Heavenly Father, that you would keep all evils away from them, Heavenly Father, that Satan wouldn't molest them in no way to bring harm and pain to them throughout this coming week, Heavenly Father. Just bless them in a good way. And Heavenly Father, just now we ask that you would take us worship service as we honor you and as we give you praise and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, your wonderful Son and our Savior, whose name we pray. Amen.
Now for communion, hymn be your number 153.
Ascended my Savior bleed, and in my sovereign die, would he devote as sacred and for sinners such as I. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of blood can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
As we gather around the Lord's table this morning, we're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that you blessed us with yet another week and another opportunity to be in that house, gather around that table. We're thankful for all many blessings you bestowed upon us this week. We're especially thankful for this cup and this loaf, which we partake of in remembrance of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll be with us through this service. We ask that you strengthen each and every one here and bless us, because today we're in the Lord's house. We glory to rest in that. Amen.
Our most holy Lord and Savior, we know that all good things come from thee. We thank you for these blessings, Lord. And Father, we ask that you bless both this gift and the giver, Lord, that it might multiply thy kingdom. We thank you, Holy Father, for thy Son, in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray.
Also included in our Bible readers was Kim. Kim Davis also read through the Bible. And if you all look at the certificate I gave you, and if hers might be attached to the back of it, they stick together. I don't know where it's at. But if it didn't, I noticed when I was, okay, if you have. Not, we will. She had a little mishap. They had a little mishap, and I hated that she didn't get in our picture. We'll have her present it to her next week. Okay, looking at what's taking place here, we have birthdays and coming up this week, and Mary Ann Adams and Brian, yours is the 29th also, isn't it? And so we wish you a happy birthday this coming week. No Bible study this evening. We're going to go to the fifth Sunday hymn sing, or to Berea. We hope that you will come and go with us. It's always a good time when the church families get together, and of course, it's a real treat when we come together and praise the Lord. So hopefully that you'll be able to come and be a part of that. Let's see, what else is looking on? Anything else in the announcement way? Okay, looking at our prayer list, we have several. We're so glad to have some folks back with us today that we haven't seen for a while. Judy and Jerry was absent last week, and boy, I was so glad to look in our Bibles, our adult Bible study this morning. Just about all of us here, except Richard back there. We missed Richard this morning in our Bible study, and so hopefully he'll be back with us, and we'll be back in the full stream. But about everybody else was back in the Bible study this morning, and Pauline's able to be here today, and there's Fanny and Wayne, and we missed you the last couple of 3 weeks. I know you've had different things happening for the family and been away for that, so we welcome you back and glad to see you. Who else along the line here that we haven't seen for a while? We just are so glad that all of you are here. In Virginia, yeah, I had to check with Virginia early this morning. If she said she wasn't going to come, we was going to go over and lay hands on her. Yeah, and it might not have been the elder's hand. We're glad that you're back, Virginia. We missed you. We miss you when you're not here, and we're so glad that you are here, and so God bless you. But yet, we look at our prayer list, and we see several on here that we have seen improvements for, and Vern has shared with us that Donna is doing somewhat better, so we're so glad to hear that. She's really had a tough time there for a while, and still got a ways to go, but we're thankful that we're here in progress. Things are progressing along for better. and several of our people. Billy Wilson, I was talking with, or just text back and forth. And so this morning he texted me when I was here and had first got here and said they had just left the early service. And so they're up and going. Things are going better. Earlier in the week, he said that things were doing better. So for there's a praise report from them. And let's see, who else have we got a praise report back this week? But a lot of our folks on this prayer list need to be updated a little bit. So please share with Donna there, and let's get that, try to get that updated, and give us some information on what's going on that we can share with you, if you will, please. We had had Frank Darnell on our prayer list for some time, and we noticed this week that he had passed away. Cancer finally overtook him, and many people are suffering that. That's a terrible, terrible disease, and we just pray that some breakthrough of some kind would come about, that we'd be able to battle that and people wouldn't suffer some of the things they are. We know that some people are taking treatments and so forth right now, that we know some of our friends, loved ones are doing that. So, terrible disease. And then worse than that, I guess, I can't say worse than that, but very, very badly is the viruses that's taking place. And Doodle and I was talking about it this morning. He was telling me about that most of those come from China, seems like. And so I don't know why and how, but he was telling me somewhat about it. But nevertheless, some of you might have seen where they have a whole city quarantined last week, and nobody could come and go, and some schools shut down because of this virus. It's a new virus that's come over on us, and terrible things taking place. And then while I'm at it, I don't know how many of you noticed last week, I saw the caption of, I say Indonesia, but I'm not sure, but someplace over there, they're having this locust so thick, it's it's just like what the Bible talks about. It's just eating all the vegetation up, so they're going to be a real hurt for food and so forth. Guys, we need to pray for those people. I don't know, and hopefully the United States will gear up to maybe to help that poor country, because it's nothing they have done. I mean, I don't know why they're plagued with the locusts, but regardless, they're just eating everything as they come. Anything that's green, so that's their gardens, their crops and everything. So another people to be in prayer for. Those people that in the fire that they've had, that's terrible, terrible fire. We've seen that several have died in that. And that's Argentina.
Australia.
Where?
Australia.
Australia, yeah, I knew it would start with A. But just so many things that are happening that, you know, it just encompasses a lot of time in prayer. And so I hope that you will spend time in prayer for those things and for the people on our prayer list, for the those who have lost loved ones, the comfort for them, and the people that care for them, the staffs of the hospitals and nurses and the care homes, and certainly our service people. We have seen a little bit of thing there that possibly going to cause us to very possibly lose some more young lives or lives, period, in service. We hope not. We pray not. So very much, you know, God is still on the throne, and God is in control, and God knows what's going on. But he, you know, free will man that he has given us, and man is evil, and I don't know where all this stuff comes from except from Satan, and that's what I pray against. I pray against not so much against the diseases and stuff, but against that one who brings them about. And so earnestly pray for all those that we've made mention, all the things we've made mention of this morning. God is good. God hears your prayer. God answers prayer, and God will bless his people. Amen.
For prayer, I'm using 218, first and last verse, and I'll have the prayer. That's all, Sam.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of suffering and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you, take it and where you go. Precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name. Of earth and joy of heaven. At pastor at his feet. Kings of kings live around him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh, how sweet of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet of earth and joy of heaven.
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity we have to gather your house on this Lord's Day. As we come around, bring all our troubles to the world, be with each individual. Give them strength to carry on, be with the ones on the prayer list, the sick, comfort and steal them, scoot them back to their normal health again, and be thy will. Go with us now, guide and direct us, save us in the end, our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Imitation him be number 448.
Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Where the morning is bright and the Lamb is the light, and the night, night is as fair as the day. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, O Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Well, the flowers will be blooming, and the grass will be green, and the skies will be clear and serene. Where the sun ever beams in this valley of dreams, and no clouds there will ever be seen. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, O Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Well, the bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb. And the beasts from the wild shall be led by a child, and I'll be changed from this creature that I am. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, O Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There'll be peace in the valley for me some day.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Kathleen and choir. And we're confident that you are geared up for tonight, I'm sure, to be a blessing for our church family as you share with others. We're in chapter 9 of the book of Luke, and we're kind of hung up there for a while because we're on the thought of the plow that Jesus talked about and putting our hands to the plow. And that's what we're encouraging the people today and throughout this year, to put your hands to the gospel plow and get the seed of the love of God all through the community here, that people will come to know Jesus as Savior. So we're taking once again from the passage here, and it deals with the first man. We have talked about the three, we have discussed a little bit about the third man, the second man, and now this morning, the first man. We kind of went backwards, didn't we? But before I begin, I heard this little story I want to share with you. This farmer had a wife who just nagged him all the time, always complaining, nagging about something. The only peace that he could really have was when he was out in the field plowing with his old mule. And so this day he was out in his field plowing, and by chance his wife brought his lunch out to him at noontime. He just pulls the old mule over in the shade of the tree, sets down on a tree stump and begins to eat his lunch. And lo and behold, there his wife started to nag, started complaining, nag, nag, nag. All at once, this old mule just raised his back half, both feet just happened to come up and hit her right behind the head, and she fell down dead. Well, they had a funeral. And the preacher noticed as the women came up and the men came up and they talked to the old farmer. And when the women would come up, well, they'd say something to the old farmer, and he would shake his head in an agreeable, you know, in a positive way. When the men would come up, well, they'd say something to him and he would shake his hand in a negative way. And the preacher just couldn't understand that, never saw that before. So after the funeral, he said, "Sir," he said, "if you don't mind, would you tell me what was going on there?" He said, when the women folk come up and said something to you, you shaked your head in approval. And he said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "They came up and they said how they talked about how nice she looked and how pretty the dress was. And I nodded my head in agreement." Well, he said, what was this with the men then? He said, "Well, when the men came up and they all said, they all asked if the mule was for sale." And he said, No. But, you know, he was out plowing. And we better get to plowing in this message if we intend to get done by 1 o'clock, I guess. And as they were going forward, we know that Jesus had set his face toward Jerusalem. We'll talk about that a little later. Now, I'm going to go through a lot of things here. And Tina, hopefully I'll give you a lot of things to think about through the week, because a whole bunch of different things. But there's one thing we're going to end up with, and that's what I want you to take home, and I'll remind you of that when we get to the end. But a lot of things that we find in this passage. And I like one day Tina left. She said, "Boy, you give me a lot to think about this week." And I hope we do. I hope the Lord helps us and blesses us with those things, gives you some thought and helps you to think about it through the week and encourages you in some way that makes your week somewhat better. So we read here that verse 57-58, "And it came to pass that as they went away, a certain man, now Matthew says this is a scribe. Now you can get a lot out of that if you go back to Matthew, and if you do look at him as a scribe, because what was scribes? Scribes were educated people, they were of the law, they were rich, and so forth. So that makes gives you a little bit more impact of what's taking place here. "And it came to pass as they went their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, birds have nests, have air, and of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not to lay where to lay his head. Now the word here, follow, is an operative word. And it is about following Jesus. And it's about excuses. And it's about hindrances that hinders us from following Jesus also. It's all about the high cost of following Jesus. So it's all about following Jesus. At many different times during the ministry, Jesus, he called people to follow him. Matthew and all the other disciples, he called to follow him. And the fact this morning, he is calling us. And maybe you have answered a call of the Lord to follow him, but maybe he's calling us to follow him more closely. Maybe he's calling us to follow him to labor more in the vineyard. I don't know, but he's calling us in some way or another. And the Lord Jesus used here the word ekolothea. That word, and Jesus used it in the present imperative here, meaning of an implying an ongoing. We don't just follow Jesus for the moment. We follow him when we come, and Jesus was speaking here, and the words he used here when he's talking about to these fellows about following him, it's not a honeymoon thing. It's a lifetime process of following Jesus here. And so he is saying from now on, the rest of your life, follow me. When was the last time that you heard a preacher or an evangelist, you know, that call for people to deny themselves and take up the cross and follow Jesus? You just don't hear much of that anymore. You don't hear preachers talking about count the cost to follow Jesus. You know, the invitation is usually just a moment of thing. You know, you see on television, if you watch it, I don't, but if you watch it, you'll see the evangelists, and if you go to some of the churches, you'll hear preachers to say, you know, they will just give a little talk. They will maybe give two or three heart-rendering stories, and then they'll ask you to come down to the aisle and they'll to accept the Lord and into your heart, and they'll tell you to pray this prayer, and if you don't know how to pray that prayer, they'll give you a little script. If you don't do that, they'll just say, well, just bow your head and say these words after me. It's a moment thing, and oftentimes they get caught in emotion. The emotions catches you up, and a lot of times the music will get you stirred up and emotional, and it's a moment thing, and you don't see them no more. But Jesus said, this is not an emotional moment thing. This is something, when you come to follow me, it's a lifetime thing, and it's going to cost you something to follow me. It's not easy here. And so Jesus says a Christian is one who is committed to follow him, denying him or herself, putting his hand to the gospel plow and not looking back. Jesus is not looking for short-time disciples. He is not looking for short-time disciples. Jesus does not want an emotional moment, an experience of that kind, worked up in the people. We've gone to different places, and we have seen they have a music for a long time, and they just get you up and down and all around and get you to dance and all kinds of things and get you all stirred up emotionally. And then on Monday or Tuesday, that emotion is gone. But Jesus wants you to come, dedicate, understanding what you're doing. We've talked in our Bible class, and we're talking about soul winning. We're talking about getting disciples. And one of the things that I've encouraged our people, we don't teach a pie in the sky salvation. We want people to understand what they're doing. We want them to understand that Jesus said, you know, you got to take up your cross and follow me. You got to deny yourself. We'll be talking about those things in the later days. So the invitation of most of the scene, you know, is to just seeing and believing emotionally and gone. The moment of time, Jesus does not want that type of thing. Verse 57, and it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said him, Lord, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now that's a real commitment, my friend. That's a real commitment. We know there were more than just 12 following Jesus. We know that everywhere that Jesus went, there was great crowds that followed him. And Jesus has now been busy in the ministry. He's been sharing the gospel. He's been casting out demons. He's been healing the sick from diseases. He's been at about 2 years, a little over 2 years. We've said here right now that there's about another year before comes what we call Easter time, Resurrection Sunday. That's going to be the second week in April, I believe, this year. So he's about a year away from that. So it's not just these 12 disciples that we're talking about, you know, that following him here. It's not just Andrew, James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Thomas, and Matthew, and James, and Thaddeus, and then there's Simon, and then there's Judas Iscariot. Those are the 12 that has been following him from the get-go. They have been there with 2 years plus with Jesus, following him. They've seen him, experienced things going on and what he's done here. But we'll see later on, I look at this man and I think about him. And why did he say that he would follow Jesus whithersoever he went? Now, if he was the scribe that Matthew says he is, and it very possibly could be, he's a man, a rich man, and he's no doubt got elaborate living quarters and so forth. And for him to hear Jesus say this, what did he ask for? He's been with Jesus for some time. There's no doubt about that. He's seen some of the healings and some of the demons cast out. He's seen some of the things that Jesus has done. What is it? I believe this man understands, as the Jews did in that day, that Jesus was going to establish a kingdom. And they had a false misunderstanding that Jesus was going to start a kingdom, and he was probably asking for a position. This man, if he be a scribe, he was probably asking for a prominent position when Jesus comes into his kingdom, because he thought that he was going to sit on David's throne and rule from that. Now that's not the first time we hear that. Who was it? James and John. They had that idea. And they asked Jesus. Well, in fact, they had mama to do it. I can visualize that. You can. James and John said, you know, mama, we'd just like to sit on the left hand and right hand of Jesus. Mama, will you go ask Jesus if we can do that? Mama, can you secure that place for us, mama? And mama did. Went and asked, and Jesus told them. You know what Jesus told them? Wasn't it for them? But it did happen. And another thing, maybe this man was like Simeon in the book of Acts, where that Philip had gone down and preached and so forth, and Peter and had come down and John, and they were doing some miracles and so forth, and this old proclaimed prophet, he saw that and he wanted to do that, and he asked Peter if he could purchase that. I'll give you some money. You give me that power to do that. Maybe this man was wanting a position, and maybe he was wanting power, because you see, at chapter 9, verse 1, these 12 were sent out. They were to send ahead of Jesus. Jesus had set his face toward Jerusalem, and 12, his 12 get-go disciples had been sent out. And they had been given the power to cast out demons, heal the diseases, whatever. Well, in chapter 10, verse 1, we see that he sends out 70 people. And he gives them the same power he gave the 12. The 12 went out and they were to go through Samaria and get lodging and so forth. But they were refused. That's when James and John said, you know, Lord, should we call down fire and consume them? They'd heard that happen. Elijah had that to happen. And Jesus said, no. And then the 70 were sent out to all the cities in the area. Well, this man that I'm talking about here, that has made this statement, he's not one of the 84 that were just talked about. 12 disciples, 70 sent out, and this man, Jesus. So we know there's 84 people there. So it wasn't one of the disciples, wasn't one of the 70s. It had to be one of the group that was sent, and he was wanting privileges. There's no doubt in my mind. I do not know that any one of these three followed Jesus. From my understanding, from my reading, and from what I gather, all three of them left. And because the scripture says that when Jesus started talking about these things, and these things seem to be hard, it says that most of the people left him, went back. They turned loose of the plow handle and looked back, went back. And Jesus looked at his 12 disciples, and that's what the word says. And I don't know whether that meant that there were only 12 there, or he just talked to the 12. I hope to think that he was just talking to the 12, and he asked them, as they saw them people leave away, he said, "Oh, will you go away too?" You know what Peter said? "Where would we go, Lord? You got the words of life. We're going to follow you." And that's what Jesus wants. Well, look, he says it in 58. Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not to lay his hand." And I pointed out, we've studied in our Bible study in the evening, we talk about some passages in the scripture. And to understand some passages, you have to go to another passage which has a reference to that, and it helps you to understand. If you're reading the Bible, you're going to come to a lot of passages that just doesn't really make sense, that just doesn't seem to be the way it is. So you'll have to go to some other passage to understand that. So here we have Jesus saying, "The foxes have holes, the birds have a nest, and I don't have a place to lay my head." First, Jesus is saying the fox have their holes. What is that? He's saying, he's referring to people here. There's no doubt about it. He's using these, symbolizing people. And he says the foxes have holes. That's their safe place to be. That's where they go, and that's their home. That's where they feel comfortable. That's where they're safe. That's where they raise their whelps. He says the birds have nests in there. What's he saying? He said they got a place where they go, they rest, they lay their eggs, lay and hatch their eggs and raise their little ones. That's their home, that's their comfort they are. What Jesus is saying, he is saying, look at these people who have their homes, who have their convenience, who have their safety, who to live life. And I'm telling you, come and follow me. And it's going to cost you something. It's not going to be that easy. And this man didn't quite understand that, I don't believe. So Jesus speaks to them, and he says to them, and again I say, in 9:1 we hear Jesus tell his disciples to go and with them, and he says, you know, to his disciples as he sends them in, and I see him send them out in the area of Samaria, and he said, "You go and you preach the gospel, and you tell them, and you secure a place for us." And he said, if they don't receive you, you know, if they don't receive you, he tells them here. And also he tells the one in chapter 10, verse 1, he tells them likewise. He said, you go and you preach the gospel. And if you have someone then to invite you in, you stay with that person until you finish what you're doing there in that city and so forth. But if they reject you, you just shake the dust off your feet and go on to somebody else that will. Jesus was born. Jesus was born in a stable. And you know where he spent the last night of his life? Before he was crucified? In a garden. No home. Now you remember that the scriptures teach us, and the people were really commanded, if you had property, and there was people traveling, and of course all those people then in that day traveled by foot, and they were traveling across your property, and night fell on them, what would you do? What was you supposed to do? You were supposed to accommodate them. You were to invite them in and give them lodging and feed them over the night. So those things took place. Now I know this. You remember the traveling through the country of the Samaritans. Jesus and them was going to Jerusalem to the feast, to the Passover, Pentecost at Jerusalem. And they usually took the Samaritan route. Now, we've studied before and we talked about going out of Galilee over to Jerusalem, and you could come right through the territory of the Samaritans, and that was just a 3-day journey. But if you read and you remember, I don't know whether it was last year we did it or not, we walked with Jesus from there, from a point and into Jerusalem. 3-day journey really is what that is. But Jesus is spending a year. That's what you look in the scripture and you'll find this being a year's time. What he's doing, he is equipping his disciples. He is giving them lessons. He is sending them out. Just as he has spread the good news of God's love, and he is sending them out to do that. Why? Because he, when he gets to Jerusalem, he's going to be crucified, and then he's going to ascend back into heaven, and then it's going to be up to the disciples to do his work. So he's spending all this time of going, teaching, sending them out, equipping them to make disciples. But look what happens. The Samaritans refused to give Jesus lodging. There was a difference between the Jews and the Samaritans. They were at odds, really. But Jesus never showed any anger toward the Samaritans. I want us to go back and look at a couple of things about that. The Samaritans really didn't hate Jesus. And that's not why they didn't give him lodging. I wonder how many of you have ever heard why Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. I've never heard a preacher preach on that. I've never heard the explanation given of that. I'm going to give it to you. I believe that I see why that Jesus wasn't given accommodations by the Samaritans. Jesus, he wasn't angry with the Samaritans. And the Samaritans didn't hate Jesus. I tell you that because, listen, if you remember, Jesus was going through Samaria. And it says he come to Jacob's well. And it says that when he stopped at Jacob's well, the disciples went in to get food. And a Samaritan lady comes out. And they get into a conversation. Now she was a little astounded because Jesus spoke to her being a Jew. That tells us, you know, there was an inferior feeling between the Jews and the Samaritans. And as this went by, Jesus pointed out her sin. And I believe from scripture and so forth, reading there, I can't just point to it and read it right off the line, but I believe he forgave her and so forth. And she was a very sinful woman, but he forgave her and said, she's a Samaritan. He's a Jew. He didn't have to talk to her. Wasn't accustomed to that, but he did. And so he talks with her in the conversation. Pat goes past then of him talking about her sin and so forth. And she says, you know, I perceive you to be a prophet. Now here's a question, she says. You've been a prophet. And so now she sees him to be a prophet. And she says, he probably has the answer here why we worship, where we worship and why that. Because she said, you know, she said, now Jesus, our fathers worship here in Mount Gerizim. And you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place to worship. That was a dividing thing. That was a point. And she thought, he's a prophet. He'll be able to explain that to me. Our fathers say we worship here. Your fathers say you worship in Jerusalem. That was the Samaritans' worship there. And you have to go back to Nehemiah to really understand that. And Nehemiah, chapter 13, verse 28 is one place, but the surrounding, you'll find it. There was a certain Manasseh man there. And if you remember when we were talking about building the temple, and we had Nehemiah on the scene, and Nehemiah was under control. And so Nehemiah says, there was a certain Manasseh man and one of the sons of Jodiah, as the son of Eliashib. You remember Eliashib? And it says that he was a priest. And the son of a priest become the son-in-law of Sanballat. You remember Sanballat? Yeah. He's the one that gave him trouble and wanted to stop building the temple at Jerusalem. And so during this discussion, and there, what they wanted to do, they ran this Manasseh man out of Jerusalem. And he goes out to Mount Gerizim and helps Sanballat build the temple for them to worship. And that's where the Samaritans then were ordered to worship. Now the Samaritans worshiped God, Jehovah God, just as Israel worshiped God. Of course, there was other gods that people worshiped in that day. But they worshiped, and they were taught Mount Gerizim is a place to worship God. In fact, they claimed that that's where Abraham sacrificed Isaac. They claimed that's where Melchizedek appeared to Abraham. But I can't vouch for that. I don't believe either one of those took place there. But it's true that's where the temple was built for the Samaritans to worship, by Sanballat and this priestly one who had rebelled in Jerusalem that was run out. Now that temple was there for 200 plus years. But long ago it was destroyed. Even before Jesus came on the scene, it had been destroyed. But the Samaritans still worship there. And do you know that the Samaritans still holds that as a place of worship? And they worship there even today. They do. So there was this big division between the Jews and the Gentiles, or the Samaritans. The Jews, you know, when I said that when you left Galilee, you could take a three-day trip and get over to Jerusalem, Jews wouldn't do that. Jews just hated the Samaritans. And they would just go out and go across, go up, and come all the way around and come back into Jerusalem. Long journey. They hate them. They wouldn't go through Samaria at all. Samaritans didn't have any love for the Jews either. But listen to what happened here. Jesus talked to this lady. This lady went into Sychar. She told all that this man had done, and they believed her. They went out to the well, and they talked to Jesus. And they then told that lady, "We believe him to be the Son of God." The Messiah, they were looking for the Messiah. And that's who she said, if you remember the conversation. She said, "I believe that you're the Messiah." She believed that he was the Messiah to come. He told her he was. Jesus tell you he was, you better believe it. He's all truth. All Sychar went out to Jesus and he taught them. And they believed and they said, "We believe not only because of what you said, but because we heard and seen him, we believed on him." And they asked him to abode for 2 days. Or abode with them. And the scripture says he stayed for 2 days. Now those Samaritans, I ask you, did they make him sleep outside? I have to believe those Samaritans accommodated him real well. So it wasn't that they hated Jesus. Here's the reason the Samaritans wouldn't provide lodging for Jesus when he was on his last journey to Jerusalem. It was because of the difference of the Jew and the Samaritan over religion and over their worship. That's why Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head in Samaria. I believe Jesus was talking about Samaria. He wasn't talking about Galilee. He wasn't talking about how do I know that? Because Jesus had a place to stay when he was in Capernaum. He stayed at Peter's house. He had a place to lay his head down in Jericho. He stayed with Zacchaeus. He had a place to lay his head when he was in Jerusalem. He just went a short hop over into Bethany and stayed with Lazarus and his sisters. Did he have a place to lay his head? But he's saying here in Samaria, he doesn't have a place to lay his head. That's the whole Texas thing. Over the difference and indifference of religion. The only reason Jesus was refused a place to lay his head was because of the dislike of the Jews and the Samaritan and over the place of worship. Verse 51, Jesus had made it plain that he had set his face to go to Jerusalem. He had a unwavering determination to go to Jerusalem. Why? He was going there to die on the cross for your sins and my sins, the sins of the world. He was clearly determined to go and do the will of the Father. The Samaritans knew very well that he had determined to go to the feast of Jerusalem. You with me? And because of the indifference and the difference and the hatred between the Jew and the Samaritan, they wasn't going to let a Jew stay in their property when he was bound for Jerusalem to attend the feast there. That, my dear friends, is the reason that Jesus said he has no place to lay his head. Now, that was kind of a war between them. But let me say today, there have been wars and still are wars, divisions of religion. Today there is so much hatred and difference in religion. We might not see it on the scale that they're seeing in foreign countries. I'm quite sure probably that Bergen saw that when he was over there. I'm not saying that all wars are over religion, because I know that most wars is over power and wealth. But there is religious wars over the indifference of where to worship and who to worship and what to worship, and it goes on and on. It's not just a religious ideology that causes problems. State-imposed atheism was a defending feature of brutal 20th century regains led by Stalin. You know that. I know that. We read that. We had that in history, in school. It took place, the hatred there. And there was many, many, during the times there who is it? Tito, I think is the name, Mayo, and that Pol Pot, you've heard those names, have you, Bergen? They're over there in the foreign country, and those are names of back, but they're no one names today, and they from them the result of the suffering, and the murdering of many people, tens of thousands of Russian Christians alone were executed for their beliefs by atheists. Intend on purging religion from the Soviet Union. That's no secret. Today we see a growing battle in the Middle East between the Shiites, or how you say that, S-H-I-I-T-I, their Shunites and the Sunnites, the Jewish state there, unless against the Christian and the Muslim, Palestinians, and so forth. Have you heard of the new attack from the atheists on the Muslims? Man, there goes on. The U.S. has been really fortunate. We, in not witnessing a lot of this religious stuff of that nature that has brought many deaths, even though we have. What about Tim McVeigh? He had some thoughts of that. What about the young man that went into the Jewish place and killed so many? Well, that's hatred. That's difference in belief. You know, they just think that they're totally wrong. They think they can wipe them out. That takes place. What would I, you know, there's a number of difference. And I say this, friends, even in what is called the mainstream religions today, I ask you, think about it and look about in the main streams of religion today, how much indifference and difference is there? Oh, we're not out killing one another. Oh, but there is some of doing that. Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head because of the difference and indifference of the Jews and the Samaritans over religion. Period. Now, let's end this.
I think about Tina this morning. Tina, you have to agree with it. That's a lot of stuff. What would I want you to take home this morning with you?
From all that I've said and got from this little old two-verse passage here, and it's only beginning, what would I like for you to take home from all of this? You and I need not get all caught up in the difference and indifference of religion. We need not get caught up in the difference and indifference of religion. Jesus simply calls us to follow him. Put our hands to the plow, gospel plow. Go forth teaching and preaching, proclaiming the love of God. The peace that comes through the salvation of Jesus Christ. The hope that we have of eternal life. If we will busy ourselves following Jesus, plowing this gospel, planting these seeds, so that Jesus will have a harvest when he comes, we will have done our job. Amen.
Seven. Let us sing the invitation. First verse only. You make a decision. Come.